Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast, the podcast that brings you all things about soccer in Mzansi and beyond. I'm Bacardi editor John T. Mark, and I'm joined as usual by football writer Sibongiseni Gumbi.
Hey, hello John T. Hello Tsepo.
And football writer Tsepo Nsoelengwe.
Hita hola, hita hola, hita hola.
We have a public service announcement. This is Mr. Gumby's final podcast, unless he chooses of his own volition to come in as a guest. But he's
I'm always willing
us
to come and give you my nonsense views.
Okay. Anyway, he's going to greener pastures, hopefully greener anyway. So this is a farewell podcast for Mr. Gumby, who leaves us today. Today, in the podcast, when we talk about actual football, we will talk about Kaizer Chiefs and their brilliant, fantastic, memorable send-off victory over Swallows on behalf of Sibongiseni Gumbi. We'll talk about Orlando Pirates and their not-so-wonderful goalless draw with Richards Bay. And we will talk about Mamelodi Sundowns, who have broken the top-flight record with a ninth consecutive DStv Premiership victory. And, well, I'm just going to say it. They may as well take the I was going to say ABSA Premiership, but I'm a bit outdated here. But they may as well take the DStv Premiership trophy to Gorklop and just stick it there for the next, maybe for the next 10 years. What the hell?
20.
This is 20. This is becoming super dull. Maybe we'll start there. Sundowns sort of cruising a little bit to victory over Supersport 2-0. Gavin Hunt said afterwards they created enough chances but also had a good subtle whinge about the amount of money that Sundowns have and the fact that they buy all Supersport's best players. So, you know. There was also, I think, like, Ricardo Goss wasn't allowed to play, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Allowed to play. And who else wasn't allowed to play? There was one other player, wasn't
there?
There
was two of them, yeah.
Yeah. So that also immediately put Supersport at a slight disadvantage. But goals from Peter Shalulile and
Ribeiro.
And Ribeiro, with his sixth goal in seven games, gave Sundowns a 2-0 win and a ninth straight victory. As I said, what did you guys think of the game? Starting with you, Mr. Gumbi.
I think the AFL was unfair on Supersport and other teams because at some point Sundowns didn't have Peter Shalulile and Ribeiro injured, and they didn't play the games during the time, you know.
Yeah.
So they were a little bit vulnerable at the time, you know. You never know what could have happened. But yeah, like you said, Sundowns are proving with every game they play that they're too far for anyone to catch. And what Peter said about when he was asked in that interview with Savja about the Kaizer Chiefs job, and, you know, I know some people just thought he was just answering, but he was just telling us that it will take Kaizer Chiefs a long time to get things right, to be able to compete at the level that Sundowns are. The same can be said for Pirates, because it's not only about having the players, but it's also having the correct people in the right places in every department. But at the moment, as things are, I'm sorry to speak about Chiefs, so, you know, yeah. But, Sundowns are just in a class of their own. You know?
Yeah, there's no real competition.
One just hopes that they'll get bored at some point and just say, you know what, we don't need this league. Let's just give it to someone else. You know? Because that is the only way it can happen. That if Sundowns get bored with it and say, like when a kid has a toy and then they get bored with it and they throw it out and they don't use it anymore.
Yeah, I think the problem is like that even if... Not that they ever would do this, but that even if Sundowns tried to lose, they'd still win. That's how good we are, actually.
Yeah. You're like, we're very good.
Because if you see even yesterday, in the second half, you could see that they didn't want to embarrass Supersport. It was like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a derby just to keep the fun going for the next one. Let's just leave it here and just play and just enjoy.
Yeah, 2-0 up early on, there was never really a danger of them letting that go. From a Supersport perspective, I mean, Gavin Hunt's never really said they're challenging for the league. I mean, he'll be happy, I think, if they can maybe get second place in a Champions League spot at the end of the day. He's also got the team competing in the Confederation Cup, which I don't think 100% helps them. given the size of their squad, Seppo. They kind of, you know, he fielded a weakened team in the defeat on the weekend to Modern Future of Egypt? That's right. Gavin Hunt fielded a bit of a weakened team in that game, and they lost 1-0. They got another game coming up this weekend against USM Alger of Algeria. You know, perhaps it's too much. Maybe it's fair enough to say, unless you have a squad of the size of Sundowns or a Pirates, you shouldn't really be not too much should be expected of you in these CAF competitions. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, to be fair, not really much should be expected, because like it takes a lot, you know, for a team to be able to compete in such competitions, especially if we're traveling, you know, other players get fatigued, and when you have, you know, such a small squad like SuperSport, so it's going to be difficult for you, even though you have ambitions of doing well. And, you know, I don't really blame, you know, Gavin Hunt for crying out loud about, you know, Sundowns getting all these players and having the money to buy all these players and having all that quality, you know. So it's a matter of not SuperSport not really having the depth in the squad. Otherwise, they are a team that is able to compete. But because of, you know, the depth in the squad is not really that good, so it makes them difficult to compete in, you know, in continental football and in the domestic league. So, you know, hard luck for him, but you know what? I just think, you know, for them, you know, playing in the Confederations Cup is going to make things difficult for them to be able to at least, you know, try to secure a second spot position in the domestic league.
Yeah. So I think they're going to have to focus on one competition, like you say. And that is probably going to be the DStv Premiership. We have to give a shout out at this point while we're saying Sundowns are romping to the title to Cape Town City, who've won 6 DStv Premiership games in a row. It's unlikely, though, that that will continue just on previous or that they'll challenge Sundowns, but they are putting up something of a fight and have progressed nicely up the table. Sundowns, of course, overtook them at the top with that win yesterday. But, yeah, Cape Town City, but under Eric Tinkler, doing a nice job there.
But the problem with Cape Town City is that they do this. They win and win and win, and then they get some spotlight because they're a likable team. They get media attention, and then I think that goes into their heads, and then they slump again, and you know, because they've won 6 games. Nobody really knew that, that they've been winning like this. It's just because the league is a stop-start, so it was easier for them to just go on without anyone noticing. But now that they've been at the top, people are going to start noticing and are going to start giving them attention again, and then,
Yeah, they've snuck up the table. Some narrow wins, but, Kanyisa Mayo scoring the winner in the last game, showing again why Sundowns and other clubs show such a keen interest in getting him. Perhaps someone will make a move in January, but it's unlikely City would let him go then. You'd think end of the season, maybe. City are a club that will let a player go, though. We know that for the right price.
Yeah. There'll be a huge press tag on him.
He certainly will let him.
He signed a new contract.
And the good thing about it is that Mayo is the one that went to the club to say, you know what, I don't want to go anywhere
now.
I want to stay here. I'll let you know when I'm ready to move. So it all depends on him. The club can come and say we want him. If he says no, then he'll still stay there.
Okay, well, now let's move to Kaizer Chiefs. They picked up, a heroic, incredible,
just because they beat Swallows. Just because they beat my beloved Swallows.
It was a derby.
It was an epic performance by Chiefs.
Kick a man while he's down.
Look, they got 3 points. They got 3 points. It wasn't prettiest, but they got the 3 points. Yeah. So credit to Kevin Johnson for doing that. What did you make of that one, Mr. Gumby? Trying to maintain your neutrality.
I think it was always going to be a matter of one goal winning that game, and whoever is lucky will get it. Because they are both teams that are being rebuilt. You know, Kevin Johnson is, you can see what he's trying to do with Kaizer Chiefs. Steve Compella is insistent on his style that he took from Sundowns, the template that he took from Sundowns. He wants to translate it to Swallows. But I think for now it's the quality of the players. It will take some really, really drilling for them to really get it right, because you can see what they are trying to do, but it's just, you know, unfortunate mistakes that, you know, I don't know. Steve will have to be very patient, because otherwise he might lose it, and it will all crumble again because they are start building from the back game is really not working because of maybe the quality of the players are not really at the level that they are comfortable with the ball like that and are confident to do it. But otherwise, you can see what Swallows are doing. You can see what Steve is doing there. And if they get it right, they are going to be a decent team and they are going to be really. And for Chiefs as well, you can see what Calvin Johnson is doing and with the rumors that he's getting and that performance analyst that he worked with at Al Ahly with Pizzo, so they have an understanding. So, and that also sort of tells you that he might be in this job for longer than being an interim coach. But yeah, you know, I guess if they listen to what Pizzo said and just shut out the outside noise. I think I wrote a column about this a couple of times ago, that, you know, Kaizer Chiefs are building this monster with their supporters, and this monster comes back to bite them because they listen to these supporters and they keep firing coaches, and it destabilizes the team, you know. So they need to just tell the supporters that, you know what, we know what we are doing. Give us 3 years. If we fail in 3 years, then we'll come back and we'll apologize to you.
Yeah, I mean, you do think that if, yeah, if Chiefs fans know, for example, that throwing a bottle at a coach is going to get him fired, then they'll keep doing it. So you've got to send out some sort of message to the fans in any way you can with regard to that. But Chiefs, obviously, yeah, they're having not the best season, but they did pick up those 3 points. Perhaps, Seppo, let's talk a bit about Swallows chairman, David Mokgosho. I mean, he took to social media before the game. And he was trolling Chiefs. Now, some might see that as a humorous, you know, a little bit of banter. It doesn't really matter. But it's not. Is it professional behavior from a club chairman?
No,
start going on about relegation battles and the fact that Chiefs, where, pointing out where Chiefs are on the league table, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, maybe it didn't motivate Chiefs. Maybe it did, but it's not. I don't know how productive it is. And he seems to like doing this on social media.
I think he's just someone who likes the spotlight. You know, he likes being talked about a lot because I mean, like this thing is just getting boring now. I mean, like I remember when he first started at Swallows. You know, it was okay, but now it's just becoming just too much for
annoying.
It's annoying actually. It's even annoying for the fans. You can even see the fans, you know, commenting on his on his Twitter. On his tweets, you know, fans are getting annoyed with what he's doing. You know, I mean, like, he's, for God's sake, he's a chairman. So he's supposed to act like a chairman.
He needs to have some respect, you know. Yeah, he needs to be respected.
Yes, exactly.
How do you respect someone who acts like a clown on social media?
So he should just stop doing that. And, because, I mean, just focus on the club and running the
club. And what gets
club.
My goat about him is that when issues about his club not paying players, he doesn't comment.
He doesn't comment, just shut up, yeah.
But anything else that he finds that, no, this is inaccurate, he's there to dismiss. But look, when claims about his... And even when he's being mentioned in those stories that players are not paid, he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't interact,
and then he comes out and just clowns around. Like,
I mean, like, you should just stop that and just be a chairman.
That is why in my social media on Facebook, I wrote a few weeks ago that in 5 years' time, our football will be in big trouble because we don't have leaders. After Khoza and Kaizer, who else? Kaizer, Mato and Khoza, and then who else?
Well, yeah, I mean, there must be someone in the wings that can take over and do a job of running football. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Guy like David Mokgosho, you know, it's good headline writing for us. It's, you know, I suppose, him having a go at Chiefs. But that's mainly because of Chiefs, to be fair. It's not really because of his profile. But anyway.
But again, John,
I've never
heard Kaizer Motaung talking about, even on radio, saying we are going to play Pirates, we are going to beat Pirates. How do you say that as a chairman?
Yeah.
And some of them, one of them even, Tim Suaz even went as far as saying his team cannot play if he doesn't speak to the players before the game.
No, it's not professional. And some of the chairmen certainly need to take a long, hard look at themselves. And
David Mokgosho needs to chill.
Yeah, he needs to chill out a bit.
Nah, he needs
Anyway, Swallows lost, so maybe that
he's going to be dragging you on Twitter.
Maybe after Swallows lost, he's going to, I'll send him I'll bake him a humble pie that he can eat. That's me having a go back at Mr. Mokgosho.
Before he even comes for you.
Before he even comes for you, yeah, exactly. Right, well, that's Chiefs out the way. So move on. Orlando Pirates drawing 0-0 with Richards Bay. Another disappointing result for Orlando Pirates. Another 2 points dropped. I think Jose Rivera, the coach, even admitted that after the game. They've got to be winning those types of games. Yeah. The side are basically out. They're not going to challenge for the title this season. I think that's clear. And again, we've said it before on this podcast, but it's disappointing from Pirates, given how strongly they finished last season, given their form in the cup competitions. It's disappointing, Tepo, that they can't mount any sort of title challenge. You know, even if they were a bit closer, we might be able to talk in a bit more positively about them. But they can't score, for starters. team with that many attacking players
I don't think it's a matter of not being able to score, because if you look at some games, Pirates are able to score. We score three goals, we create a number of chances. So I think sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, the players just not really giving their all. And, you know, like the game against Richards Bay, you know, we just started waking up at around in the last 15 minutes. I mean, we even hit the crossbar and, you know, we had a few clear-cut chances we could have scored easily. And most of the games that they drew, when you look at them in the league, they played like this. All of those games, they played like this. They were dominant. They were creating. They were the most team with most chances created, but they couldn't, you know, get a maximum result. And I think that's what has been their problem this season. Otherwise, they would be, joint top with San Jose at the top of the log. Mm-hmm. But because of, you know, such poor, you know, decisions in the final third and, you know, not really, you know, taking the game from the start has really let them down. And, I mean, like you said, Pirates has a very good squad. They have depth in their squad. But now, because of, you know, such, you know, performances, it's just letting them down. I mean, like, come on. We saw in the cup games. You know, we saw what we can do in the cup games, you know, winning all those matches, winning all those trophies. But, you know, in the league, it's just disappointing.
You know, I think what you said, Sepo, is right. They are relaxed. Yeah. I think the problem starts with, I don't know, it's the coach. I don't know how to put this, but he's a good coach. He's a good human being. He's not confrontational. But then South African players need you sometimes to, you know, shout at them a little bit. I saw Rulani yesterday at Sundowns when they almost committed that foul at the back there with Ronwen. He was angry at them. He shouted at them. But they were doing well. They didn't concede the goal. They picked up from there. They cleaned up and continued. But with Jose, he's always the same. You know, sometimes you need to push these players to say, but guys, now, this is wrong. We can't be doing this, you know, so that they can really be focused and serious in every game. Because you can see Pirates, they play very well because they are relaxed. They are allowed to play as they want. And the system, allows them to express themselves nicely. But sometimes the coach needs to put his foot down and say, no, this is not right, you know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he does that in the change room, but
probably does because he doesn't. It doesn't show in the game. He's the guy that would do that. You know, he'll be just chilling there on the bench and just looking at the game.
Yep. Show a bit more passion, Mr. Rivera. We need that from you to inspire
the players. The players need it. The players.
To see that the coach is not impressed and he's getting angry there at the sidelines would make them, you know.
I know Mandla Ngazi has that face. Maybe Mandla should step
up. But he doesn't have the power.
Yeah, he doesn't have the power anymore. Well,
I just want to talk more about Pirates in terms of, well, this is a controversial topic, I guess, Tembin Corsi launch. The way they've behaved is shocking over Tembin Corsi launch. The guy was found guilty of assaulting his ex-girlfriend.
Right? Yeah.
They then didn't suspend him. They said they'd launched their own inquiry and sent him for anger management courses. He then gets sentenced. Then they say they're conducting another internal investigation, and they say that he is suspended for like 3 games, basically, until they've done that. I mean, I just think they've not acted responsibly. For a club that claims to take such a strong stance against gender-based violence, they've really not acted strongly enough here. And if you take as a case in point that what happened with Tandani and Chumayelo, he was, as soon as he was sentenced for failing a drug test, testing positive for cocaine, they immediately suspended him and he never played for the club again.
And they cancelled his contract.
Yeah, so, you know, should they not be... On that principle, I mean, violence against women is a far worse crime than I think, hopefully, the majority of people would agree than testing positive for cocaine, which is not exactly a performance-enhancing drug anyway. I mean, it's not that he's cheating. He just went out for a party, I guess, or whatever. You know, which is, it's wrong. He should be banned. And he appealed. Also, he appealed against the ban, and then he was, it was cut. But his career was never quite the same again.
Mm.
Now, what are pirates doing? Anyway, that's my rant over.
That's why I said, when this started, Losh has put pirates in a big hole. And the first mistake that pirates made was to do their own thing inside and suspend him and send him to anger management cause without letting the public know. Like I was saying with chiefs in my in my talking point this week, that some of these things can be easily addressed if they are transparent. You know that the guy has been arrested for this. Suspend him from the club. Put out a statement to say he's been suspended, but because he's still going to go into trial for this thing. We are trying to make sure that even if he didn't or he did, we're not saying he did it or he didn't, but we are sending him for anger management classes, just in case. Because now, how do you send someone for anger management when he hasn't been found guilty of anything? Because this is the time now that they should say, we are suspending him and sending him for anger management classes. And we are making him the spokesperson to speak about these things. Every platform he gets, he must speak about this thing. Warn other people that, because he's come so close to having his career gone. Because he should not have a career right now.
No, exactly,
Because if the sentence was to say he must sit the 3 years in jail, then it's gone.
There's no career.
He's the right person to address these issues. I think that is the approach Paris should have taken to say, okay, we're sending him to anger management classes, but then as well, he must be the spokesperson for this. We are appointing him as a spokesperson. He will work with these organizations like POWER that he has to pay to, not just to pay money to them, but he must work with them hand in hand to address these issues, because he's a big name in... When he speaks, people will listen, and they know that he speaks from personal experience. It's happened to him.
And I think that's what, you know, made a lot of people angry about the situation, the way pirates handled the whole situation. I mean, like, a 3-game suspension is just, you know, it's just a little for such for such a huge case. I mean, it's very huge. And we all know how GBV is huge in the country. You know, a lot of people are, you know, victims of, you know, such crimes. So, you know, pirates should have handled this thing much more better. And hopefully they will, you know, handle it much better and give the public, you know, transparency in how we're going to, you know, follow up in this and make sure that Timiko Siloshi doesn't end up in this, such a situation again, or any other player, you know.
Yeah. No, I think also just to be clear, the Pirates' internal investigation that led to Lorch being sent for anger management classes and being fined happened before he was found guilty.
Yes, yes.
The Pirates were effectively admitting guilt.
Yeah, so, means that he was found guilty by them, so... Yeah. What was the use for the court? Because he should have gone to court
and said... But they look silly because he was found guilty by them and their thing was to fine him and send him to an anger management class, which is not how you punish someone who's beaten up his ex-girlfriend.
You know.
I'm sorry.
When you hear from the court, that was a serious issue in so much that somebody could have lost their lives. Because right now he's banned from even owning guns. Because that tells you that... Maybe during the argument, he wanted to find a gun. Or,
who knows? That's speculation. No. But look, it's a serious thing he's done. He should be. If you're going on the basis of what they did with Tendani and Shumayelo, they should have cancelled his contract.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they should have done, really, if they were acting professionally, for me. Yeah. The other thing, obviously, to note is that in the meantime, while he's been playing, Temminkosi Lorch, now this is coincidental, if you like. He's won 200,000 rand for picking up man of the match displays in two games in which he was not the man of the match.
Yeah, plus that one you won with the DStv Premiership.
Yeah.
The Kali knockout.
No, the
two Kali knockouts.
Two Kali knockouts and DStv Premiership. Yeah.
Okay, there was one with the DStv Premiership. But that, I guess, you can say, look, it's partly Carling Black Label's responsibility for me because they've turned the man of the match into a popularity contest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to do that, then... You're going to get situations where it's an undeserving person, but it's just highlighting that, you know, this guy's got himself 200K And has now been sentenced to 3 years suspended sentence by a court for assault. So he's convicted of assault. I don't know enough about the legal ins and outs to question the sentencing or whatever happened in court. But I do think the whole situation has been handled really badly. And as much as none of that 200,000
The court was lenient as well because fining him 100,000 rand and saying he must pay 50 and then 10, 10, 10. Make him commit to public service at least.
Well, that's one of
work with those with these organizations, not just pay them money, give them money, but work with them. The court must sentence him to go work with them.
That's one of those man of the match awards. He just hands that over, he's done. He can pay it now, why not? He's got that money.
He's got the money, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, we'll end with that. A sad situation, but hopefully pirates start acting a bit more responsibly. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's it for this week. Please do like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and that's all at Picardy with three A's, and then do get your copy of the Picardy Supplement free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. And just to finish off, goodbye, Mr. Goombi. We've enjoyed having you on this podcast. We've enjoyed having you in the office. We're sad to see you go, but good luck in your future endeavors. And, yeah, please do just slip me that Kaiser Chiefs contact that you've got.
We'll see.
On the way out. All right. We'll see you next time. Me and Seppo, and perhaps we'll get our Sundowns correspondent to make the short trip to Johannesburg next week. Okay. See you next time. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers.